All right, well, we've got 3 minutes, but let's dig in, okay? That's okay. We'll start headed next week. On purpose, it took me a while. I was really contemplating starting the next book, which is 1 Peter. We were going to be jumping into 1 Peter on our big picture. I realized with next week being on Tuesday night next week, the July 3rd instead of 4th, and we'll have some focus. We'll spend some prayer time next week in particular for our nation. So I didn't want to jump into 1 Peter because it's a pretty, there's a lot of truth there in the sense that we wanted. So I knew it was going to take me several weeks, so I thought let's wait until after that. And since I didn't get to preach here on Father's Day, and as we stop and consider what's going on in our nation, maybe tonight I'll just give you a little bit of the introduction here. You know, we've had all of this hubbubaloo about the stuff going on at the border and families being separated. Do you realize that in this, since January 1 of this year, there has been over 300,000 pounds of drugs confiscated? That means there's been a lot more that's gotten through probably on our southern border. Do you realize that the vast majority of children showing up at our southern border are not with their parents? They are being used as pawns. Guess what's happened? The criminals on the south side of the border know that we're being soft on this side of the border, and so they're using children. Now, in fact, and this, here's the sad thing. Those children are often getting caught up in the drug situation and in sex trafficking on this side of the border. What we're seeing in our news is a joke. And folks, we are in desperate need around the world of godly families and homes. And so that's just a little bit of the impetus of my point here. I wanted to put this in our hands again. I realized I was contemplating what, you know, as I look at our Wednesday night crowd, we've got some godly fathers here. Thank you. Keep it on. All right. Keep up the good work. But I think we need to continue to remind ourselves of God, what God intended for a father to be. I'll give you points number 1 and 2, and then we'll fill in the blanks next week, all right? So why don't you turn with me for just 2 minutes to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. This is really on purpose. It's a topical message in the sense that we're not going to exegete an entire passage. Ephesians 6, verse 4 is in the midst of a longer section of the outgrowth of the work of the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, chapter 5, verse 17, but be filled with the Spirit. And we see all of the applications of what it looks like to be Spirit-filled. In the home, a father that's Spirit-filled will do this. Verse 4 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You do not frustrate. That's the idea of provoke not your children to wrath. You do not frustrate your children. And how did that can happen? Well, by not doing these next two things. How do you frustrate children? Well, you don't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Wow. That means we probably have a lot of frustrated children around this country. Ah, you're right. Why is it that we face such a huge generation of delinquents? Because they have not had fathers that were the proper biblical role models in their home. As a youth pastor for 20 years, it was amazing to me that even if a teenager came into the youth group whose family was intact, whether or not they were saved, but the family was intact, there was a father figure there that was in some way providing a form of authority, no matter how good or bad that was. It was amazing how stable that teen was. I could teach that child truth. They would actually listen and learn and observe. It was just because there was a dad there that was modeling, and here's point number one, you need to model your heavenly father before your children. All right? God on purpose chose the name father for himself. And that analogy to the human father is on purpose. It's not a mistake. It's not just whimsical. It's a reality. Men, if you've been given children, you have the responsibility before God to model God before your children. Now, that's a huge responsibility, is it not? We'll talk about it next week. But not only should we model God before our children, all right, our Heavenly Father, but point number two, which is on the back side of your notes, or on the second page, point number two, is we need to model our faith before our children. What do I mean by that? Well, that means that dads, you have been called by God, and this is verse 4 of Ephesians in particular, to live out your faith in front of your children. Long before my dad became my assistant, right? You know, I've told you many times, what was it in my life that had deep impact? It was because dad was striving to walk with his God. Did he do it perfectly? No, he didn't. I can tell you times where he blew it. I remember, and he will tell you too, all right? But dad was faithfully striving to pursue his faith with his God. And that's a miracle. I firmly believe I'm where I'm at today spiritually because I had a good father that was following God. Not perfectly, but striving with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength to please his God. And that had an impact on his children, me and my sister in particular. That has to happen or you lose the next generation. Now, this also gives hope, all right? Gives hope. Because dads, you don't necessarily have to be perfect, but your children need to see that you're pursuing God. Children can smell hypocrisy, I think, a zillion miles away, especially in the home. Don't look like a Christian here, dads, and not be a Christian at home. All right, they want a real dad who's a real Christian through and through, not just on the surface, but through and through. Okay, so there's my message for tonight. Okay. And now I'll give you all the points next week, all right? And maybe I wouldn't be surprised that it'll stretch into the following week because these are so critical because if the reason our society is falling apart is because we don't have dads. That's really a lot of what's the reality. And we need to make sure that we as a church are promoting and encouraging biblical fatherhood for our young men to look forward to be the right thing for our young men that are married, to be the right fathers for our grandfathers, to help their children be godly fathers and parents too. Okay. Good night. You're dismissed. We've already prayed together. See you later. Have a good rest.